Hello, everyone. I'm Diane McLean, and I'm one of the co-leaders for the Joy Keepers Network. And I'm really excited to be here with all of you today because we have our special guest, Helena Goldstein, to be with us and talk with us about joy and all of the things that she knows about it. And I'm really excited for that. So just to tell you a little bit about Helena, she's an experienced spiritual mentor. She supports coaches, teachers, and artists around the world in creating their life's joy work. And she works with the Awakening to Joyful Living program. She's been exploring and working with joy for decades, and she's also the founder of the Joy Keepers Network. So I'm really excited to have you here today, Helena, and let's get started.
Thank you, Dan. I'm ready.
Good. Good, good, good. Welcome, welcome, welcome. So I'm really curious because you shared this with me very recently that you've been working with the concepts of joy for decades. And so I wanted to start with what were your first early memories about joy? When did this first start being a part of your life?
Well, this is such an exciting question because until a certain time in my life, I would have said that I remember joyful experiences as maybe 4 or 5 years old. But actually, it goes further back. I had a very special experience when I was in my 30s, I think. So some 30, 35 years ago. Where I went in a deep meditation where we were guided back to our earliest memories as such, not especially about joy, but just as such. And much to my surprise, I was taken to a state where I was probably just a few months old. There was no language.
Wow.
There was no thinking. There was pure being and there was pure joy and pure love. And it was like more or less a constant state. And the experience was really an experience of oneness with that love and with that joy. So whenever someone like kind of maybe my mother or a caretaker or my father, someone from my family, whenever I could see them, wherever they kind of showed up, they were also that love and that joy and that oneness. And it was a beautiful and amazing experience in itself, but it also taught me something absolutely essential, is that this is the state we come in. This is the state we are born into. And then life happens and we forget it. But
absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
It's amazing how that works. How we, it's so natural and then we forget. Yes.
I think so.
And we have to find it again. Come back to it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a beautiful story. That feels so good in my heart. Yeah, I love that. So if we move forward into your life and some of the things that happened later on, just moving through life, did you always have that sense that it was always there with you, or did you lose it and have to find it and bring it back? And what is it that helps you to have it flow again now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I lost it completely. I lost it completely at fairly young age. You know, life happened, and as it does for so many of us, we are meeting our challenges and our growth opportunities as we can see it afterwards. But
yes,
when it happens, we just see it as pain and suffering and things closing. So I really lost that sense of joy to a very large degree. For many years, and then it started coming back to some degree in very like specific circumstances. For example, when I meditated, or when I was teaching, or when I was playing music. And then there was a series of awakenings and breakthroughs when I was just around 40, and then I started gradually come back first to a sense of self-love, and then joy started to open.
Yes.
So that it eventually became a something easily accessible for me. And
I was going to say that's so important to have that self-love coming back.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That is the beginning of having things open.
Yes, that is a bridge, a necessary bridge for joy to be there. Absolutely, and you know what connects me with joy today is when I think about it, it's really about practice in a sense. Like with everything else, you know, they say practice makes perfect, and it's not about perfection at all, but it is about the fact that joy is really coming from our source. It really lives within us. But because we forget that natural connection, because we disconnect at an early point, we need to learn how to reconnect. We need to find that path within, that ability to open that door. And right. That takes practice, and there are certain practices that we can do. And the good part is that the more we practice, the more we commit to it, then it's possible to open to joy under any circumstances, at any time, easily, when we practice. So that's what I've been doing. I had my practices, and along the way, it has become natural, so that many times I just am in a state of joy, but not always, in the sense that I, like everyone else, I can, you know, kind of fall asleep or be, you know, right, run on autopilot, right. Or there can be a challenge. But as soon as I notice, I can open joy just like that, very, very easily, because the practice has been there and the door is there. So it is possible for us. That's the point.
So I'm curious about this practice. It's like, what exactly is it that helps you to stay in that flow and keep open to that? What is it that brings you back when you lose it? And what is it that keeps you there?
Yeah. So again, this is a question of one's relationship with oneself. Like if I will describe the practice in a moment, but just wanted to stress that this is really about getting ourselves to know ourselves. Like, for example, if someone asks you, how do you open your heart? It's impossible to say in words, because it's a very personal experience that is beyond words. So we can have practices that help us find out what is my personal connection, what is my experience, and then it's very easy. So I've written an ebook, actually, a short, simple ebook that describes the practice that can take us there. And in essence, there are three steps to that. And the first steps goes through gratitude. So the first step, on the first phase of it, we learn to feel gratitude because of something. So it could be an evening practice, like, you know, thinking about what the day has brought and something that brought us gratitude. And when that feeling is fairly stable, like, I can be grateful for something, then the next step is to take the something away. In other words, to tune into this gratitude and then let it be there, just the feeling of it, without connecting it with something specific, so that you just feel the gratitude. And gratitude and joy are very closely connected. It's pretty much this, a very closely connected feeling of just wonder, of being, as Martha Shimon, I think, has said, happy for no reason, joyful for no reason. So very close to gratitude. So you can use that. And then so that's the second phase. So I kind of start with thinking about something that you're grateful for, then kind of let go of the reason and just feel the gratitude. And the next phase, you just do it throughout the day. You know, just try to keep coming back to that feeling you're worried. And it could be something else. It doesn't have to be that way. But the essence of it is, again, for example, many people feel joy when they're in nature, or they feel joy when they're with children. So you can use that too. You could start with, how is it that I feel when I'm in nature? That feeling. And then you kind of let go of the nature and just stay with that feeling and notice, this is how my body feels. This is how my energy feels. This is how I feel when I'm in joy. So it's learning, getting to know yourself in that joyful state. And eventually, as you practice that, do that again and again and again, you find out, oh, this is my joy. This is the door. And then it becomes easy and natural.
That sounds beautiful. Yes. And I think that there's the joy of remembering when you're not in those special places or when you're not doing the joyful things. And there's also the joy of doing them and being in them, right? Like you can have it from the inside out and the outside in.
Happening. Yes, yes, certainly. Yes. Although, you know, joy is an inner state. So it's
absolutely.
Not, but yes, absolutely. Definitely.
Yes. That's beautiful. So is there anything else that's really special about joy that you'd like to share with us today?
There's a lot. but you know, I've been contemplating like what would I like to share? And I would like to share something that not so many people talk about, but which I feel is important to have an awareness of. And that is that in our culture, not in all cultures, but in our Western culture, there's a lot of fear that connects to joy. Which means, and it happens in different ways. So one way is that this is a culture that says, it's wonderful to be joyful, but only so much. So for example, if, you know, if the cultural thing is, you know, if you see a little child be like completely in bliss, people go like, oh, how wonderful is that? If they see the same person 10 years later or 20 years later in the same state, they might say, don't be such a child. And there are reasons for it, psychological reasons, because joy is the really at the end of the day, joy is the Michael Beckwith's words, joy is the experience of the presence of God. So it's a completely free, liberated state. And because we do not live in a completely free and liberated culture, there is fear connected with that. So it's important to know that we have taken upon ourselves to be part of a culture that only allows so much joy, but not so much more. So we will meet those limits at some point, and then it's good to know, this is a fear. There's nothing dangerous about you. I'm just meeting something old, or maybe something from my past. And another aspect of it that is also important to know is that we live in a culture of polarity and a world of polarity. And that means that there's this assumption that you're either in joy or you're in sadness. And that means that when there are situations that we experience as sad, or tragic, or difficult, our culture kind of tells us, do not be joyful here. This is a sad situation. So to give you an example, if you are at a funeral, it can be, when you are at a funeral, you might experience deep states of joy, because when people are in these extreme situations, they open up and hearts open up and you can experience joy. I have, and I know others have too. So you can be at this funeral and everyone is crying and it's all very sad. And all of a sudden you're in that state of joy. And what do you do with that? So it's important to know that joy is the experience of the presence of God. Ultimately, so your heart opens and you feel the joy and it is okay. And there can be fear again because it can feel inappropriate, but it's not. And perhaps, you know, there are situations where we have to find, you know, an expression that is appropriate. Like I remember in the Joy Keepers Network at some point, we had a meditation online. And during that meditation, a fire happened next to my house.
Oh my.
And so we were in that meditation and then I came down, you know, the meeting ended and I came down to see what happened. And I was in that pure state of joy. We have just been a group of people meditating and everyone else was, you know, terrified and sad and worried. And it was like, and I had just this smile. And it was a challenge, right? Because it's not culturally accepted, but actually it's a help for the people if we can bring joy into those situations too. So let's remember that joy is much more, and there can be challenges in opening to it, but it is only a gift. It is a gift to absolutely want to cultivate. Yes.
It is a gift, and you are a gift.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. I think we're about at the end of our time now. I've enjoyed this thoroughly, and I would like to invite people to take a look at your website. You can find the link right below this video. And that ebook, I think that ebook is a great thing to download as well. So thank you again so much, Helena. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Thank you, Diane, and thank you everyone listening. And we will be in touch. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.